Autumn Stringham with us. She's the author of A Promise of Hope, A Woman Affected with Bipolar Disorder and the Miraculous Treatment That Cured Her. She's the second of nine children born to a mother who suffered from bipolar affective disorder. She developed the same illness, and the story of the remarkable treatment that had been featured in a documentary entitled Impossible Cure on the Discovery Health Channel, Popular Women's Magazine, and her book, again, A Promise of Hope, an astonishing true story of a woman affected with bipolar disorder and the miraculous treatment that cured her. And let's say, Autumn, hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. You know, when we talk about bipolar disorder, I am quite confident there's more people affected by it with many, many different degrees, and there's a lot of people that don't even realize that they have it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's becoming one of those kind of catch diagnoses, too, I think, where people accuse others of having it when, in fact, they don't. So it kind of goes both ways, doesn't it?
Sure. If I don't like the way you are, I'm going to accuse you. That's what you got.
We can throw it out as an insult, too,
yeah,
can't we?
Yeah, we can do it politically. I mean, it works for them. What the heck? Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. When was it that you realized that you had the bipolar disorder?
Look, I had problems from, some of my earliest memories. Suicidal at 10, had all sorts of mood issues and was called all sorts of names in the family group, you know. I think I realized I was sick when I found my mother hiding in her shower in an awkward situation where she was fully clothed and obviously having a psychotic episode and was just terrified and terrifying to find her like that. I was 16 at the time, and I recognized that she really wasn't okay. And then I recognized that same thing in myself. So I wasn't actually diagnosed until I was 21.
No, on a practical level, let me stop you just for a minute because I want to lay a base here. On a practical level, what is it? What is it? What are some of the signs, the symptoms that somebody has it that you'd recognize it?
Well, I think we all recognize what depression looks like.
Yeah.
You know, true clinical depression where someone is just incapable of accomplishing things. They don't even want to anymore. It's like they just want to sleep all the time. They can't function. Everything just feels like a big burden. Bipolar is like that on the low end. And then there can be sudden swings or just a gradual swing. The times spent in the depths of each mood can be very short, or they can be extremely long. Some people even go for seasonal type swings. But the thing that makes depression, manic depression or bipolar, is when you swing into the high and you go beyond normal feel good into elation, into grandiose thoughts. Sometimes people get confused and think that they are far better at things, better looking, smarter, richer than they actually are, and that can cause a lot of problems in a family setting.
Kind of a Jekyll and Hyde, then. Kind of a Jekyll and Hyde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, you know, in the early stages of the illness, it really seemed like a seasonal thing. I was living in Canada, in the far north, where there really wasn't a lot of sunlight. So it was common for people to have depression in the winter, just the lack of sunlight. But it wasn't until I got into my late teens and early 20s when I started swinging very rapidly. And that was undeniably not seasonal, but, you know, I could swing from a super high, elated mood into a suicidal depression several times a day. And that's when my diagnosis was called rapid cycling bipolar disorder, which is really dangerous. Most people that commit suicide, I understand anyway, that most people that commit suicide as bipolar people do it during a rapid cycling period.
Just as a whim at the time. Now, let me ask you this, allopathic medicine, chemicals. Obviously, you went to regular doctors. They didn't work, did they?
No, I mean, it did work on some level because I didn't kill myself. And I'm not anti-drug because I recognize that when you don't have a better option, sedation is a really good option. Sometimes if all they can do is just make you stay in bed and not go out and do something that's super destructive or life-threatening, then, you know, that's a decent option. I tried 13 drugs over 3 years. Mm-hmm. I was hospitalized several times and was in the hospital or in the doctor's office at least once a week for a variety of issues. Yeah. Usually when I would go into a really high mania, I would have hallucinations that went with that. And that's not always the case for people with bipolar. I was really extremely ill. But, you know, I'd have to go and get a sedative shot at times like that. And that carried on for a long time. And, you know, I didn't get any better. I mean, I stayed alive, but I didn't really feel like I was living. And any time that I could think a clear thought, it was really, how am I going to get out of this? And, you know, how am I going to die? And during that period, my mother committed suicide. She was 40 years old at the time. Hmm. And then it came to light that we'd actually lost my grandfather to suicide as well. So there was an obvious pattern in the family, and it just got to be pretty hopeless for me.
Now, where was it that you found the light at the end of the tunnel, where you found that something could finally work? And I don't mean management work so you can have a decent life.
Right. Well, this is where the story gets good, and that's why it's a good book. my father ended up talking to a guy. They were volunteering for their local church, and they were standing in a church hallway, and he starts talking to this guy that he barely knows about me and about my younger brother, who was also diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And my dad was describing my younger brother's behavior, and the man said to him, "Your son sounds like a pig with ear and tail biting syndrome." And he went on to describe how for 20 years he had been developing this vitamin and mineral regimen for the big pig farms, for swine farms in southern Alberta, and how they were able to manage pig behavior through nutrition. And, of course, my dad jumped all over that because the medication didn't work for Grandpa or my mother or me, and it certainly wasn't working for Joseph, my younger brother. And they got onto this, and eventually I was in my dad's custody because I wasn't allowed to be alone with my son. And it kind of just wrapped up into this situation where I had a violent outburst, and he felt like he was justified in forcing me to take the supplement. And and over a period of a few days, he got me started on it, and the turnaround was phenomenal. Within 2 months, I was off of a 5-drug cocktail and back at home.
Now, what's in it?
Without adult supervision.
Yeah, but Autumn, what's in it?
It's vitamins and minerals in a very specific combination. It's actually been researched now at universities around the world. They've got 15 medical journal publishings now. They had to take on the Canadian government to make it legal up there because some of the laws said you can't use vitamins and minerals to treat certain diseases because they don't believe it can work. But it is... It's gaining momentum in the research community, and it's going to take a while before it gets into the medical system. It takes a long time.
No question.
To have that take hold. But there are thousands of people in North America now, like me, with stories even better than mine.
You know, it sounds like when you were talking with the lack of sunlight up in Canada, you know, the long winters. I spent, 20-some-odd years in Fairbanks, Alaska, long winters. Vitamin D3, you know, and D3, and there's a lot of people who don't take the D3 vitamin because if you lack of sunshine, it can have its effect on you also. And I can imagine that the different combinations of vitamins would change brain chemistry, and it's brain chemistry that's going to throw you off.
Yep, and you know, there are micronutrients that, the World Health Organization has done incredible research on nutrients in our food. And what they've discovered over the last 50 years is that what we used to be in a tomato isn't in a tomato anymore, just because of our growing practices and depletion in American soils. So we are minerally bankrupt in America.
Yeah, you're talking about lycopene from tomatoes and so on and so forth. No, absolutely, absolutely. You're not getting the nutrition in the food that we once got. Try this out. By the time you sit down with something at the dinner table, from the time it took, and if it's all natural, whatever the case may be, from the time it took from the original creation of it to your dinner table, it's going to lose a tremendous amount. Then if you have a digestion problem, it loses even more. So supplementation today is really the answer to many, many things. See, whatever you're talking about is not a cure, and it's not a be-all, end-all. But what I'm hearing you say, and stop me if I'm wrong, I'm not a clinician, but what I'm hearing you say is that that if you fix the immune system, if you shore that immune system up, the immune system is going to do the job it needs to do to fix the problem. Did I lose you? You still there? Beep, beep. I love beeps. Oh, where's my tinfoil? If I have tinfoil, they can't get me.
Our guest has dropped. She's calling right back, I hope.
Okay, not a problem. Okay, so we're really talking about nutrition, and in so many, many cases, nutrition is really the place to go with a lot of things. It is amazing if you pick up some of these books about what to eat, what's inside of what you eat, and the effect on the body.
We have our guest back.
It's unbelievable. Oh, we lost you for a minute. We got you back, Autumn. It's okay.
Good to be back.
Thanks, we missed you. So realistically, I think where we were going is if you can get things that will cause the immune system to work, that's where the cure is.
It is, and the brain function and enzyme functions, all sorts of things are based in micronutrients. And, you know, I'm not a scientist. I don't understand all of that, but I can tell you that when I started taking the right nutrients into my body every single day and got off of the medication in a safe way, it changed everything about the way that I think and feel.
Yeah.
We went on, my husband and I managed to stay married after I put him through it like you wouldn't believe. And our son, who I had during my illness, is now 18, going on 19. We've got three more girls, and we are living a healthy, happy, middle America family. Like here in Idaho, we're just having a wonderful time together, and there is peace in our home. And I think that's the message I really want people to know, is that we're not just talking about a new drug, a new idea. It actually works, and allows you to get into a situation chemically where you can change your behavior and really be happy. And I never imagined that that would be true. Growing up the way I did with my mom,
yeah,
never imagined I could ever be happy.
Autumn, by the way, going through these things, if there is even if it's a debilitating disease that somebody in the family gets, if one person in the family has something, the entire family is affected. It's not just that one person. Everybody may not have the disease or the imbalance themselves, but they're going to get affected by that person who does have it, and the entire family is affected.
Absolutely. It is a disease for the whole family. You know, and this is one of the things when I'm doing public speaking, I raise this a lot. There are the physicality of the illness is one thing, and you can deal with that with medication or with nutrition or however. You change the body, you change the brain, right?
Sure.
But there's also the habits of mental illness that people learn. I was raised by a woman who had really serious problems with mental health, and her parents did too, and there's that whole genetic connection and the whole behavioral familial connection.
Yeah.
And that is the pattern that needs to break, but you can't ask somebody to change their behavior when their behavior is making sense to them.
Do you know how many people
really have to change the chemistry first?
Oh, absolutely. How many people could have had a decent life? How many kids that did not have to go out and join gangs because there were problems at home, etc.? If they, I know this is going to sound so simple, if they would have eaten properly and taken the right supplementation.
It's true.
Yeah.
I'm speaking at a thing with a researcher from Canada in Utah later on this fall. I'm going to be speaking at a thing for incarcerated women. And, you know, they've done some studies on criminal behavior and even violent behavior in jails and discovered that there's a huge connection between nutrition and those kind of behaviors. And it just makes you wonder how many people's lives could be different if someone, had been able to break that chain.
Sure.
Down the line, you know?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
I'm breaking it here. I'm excited about that.
Wonderful.
My children are never going to be mentally ill, you know?
Love every second of that one. Autumn, we're starting to run out of time. Is there a website we can find you at and get more information?
Absolutely. You can go to apromiseofhope.com. That's www.apromiseofhope.com. That's also the title of my book, A Promise of Hope. And it's in the United States now and available through regular booksellers. It's published by HarperCollins. So I hope people will read it and get some hope and figure out how to take care of themselves and their families a little better.
Wonderful. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. I've appreciated the time. Go out and get them.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Good night.